the bubble. Hello and welcome to Burst the Bubble. You're listening to ChemFM with me, Chris Moten.
And me, Michael Quintario.
This is a this is a show about silly news. We talk about news stories, but not the news stories you hear on all the other better paid shows.
we talk about the ones that you look at and go, eh? Really?
Mm.
And we like to show that the world outside the Cambridge bubble is quite possibly just as weird, or maybe even weirder, than the one inside.
Indeed so. In that spirit, Michael, would you introduce us to our first story?
Our first story, we're going with, you know, cameras to start off today, and the first one is an artist who has been taking his art rather too seriously, I feel. He had a camera implanted into the back of his head.
Yes, this is apparently part of a project in which he's to have this camera take a photo every minute or something of that kind, and therefore document his entire life for X years or something like that. But he's taken the unusual step of, instead of taking a photograph every minute, biologically implant one into his skull. This turned out to be a bad idea.
Yeah, he's sadly managed to get some sort of infection, which means...
As you might if you put a camera inside your brain.
He's now got... He's now in quite severe pain, having like skipped the doctors who told him this was a bad idea, and going to a body piercing studio in Los Angeles to have it done.
In many ways, it's a bit of a triumph of science over the arts, isn't it? It's attempted photography ended up with horrible medical condition.
The thing that gets me about this is that he was saying that the project of having a camera taking all these photos in the back of his head was intended as a comment on today's surveillance society, because there's lots of security cameras around in cities. So I'm just wondering now whether the... I'm just a bit disappointed that this story doesn't have him just talking about how this is all still part of the art and claiming something like, I don't know, claiming something along the lines of that his body rejecting the camera is
it's
to
like
do with people...
Society rejecting fundamental pervasive surveillance. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But he's also said that he's going to have it... he's hoping... Sorry. He said, I'm hopeful the wound will heal quickly. And the person who... I'm getting confused about who this was. He said, I'm hopeful the wound will heal quickly and I will be able to reattach the camera on the remaining two boasts on a WeWork base. Which to me is possibly not sending the message out that he wants to, that we will welcome back the surveillance, no matter how much pain it has caused us the past.
Bring back surveillance society, perhaps, just a little bit worse.
So, yeah, when did this ever sound like a good idea?
It should be pointed out, of course, we're assuming that he's against the surveillance society. I mean, he said that it's a comment on it, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's against it. This might be him saying, look, it's so practical. it's just much more doable than you just supposed. You too can survey your neighbours.
I mean, but the thing is, he's not hooked it up with sound, so he can only tell if people are talking behind his back if he's really good at lip reading.
And so like all other so we, you know, we complain that these security cameras are everywhere, but of course nobody ever watches them, so he might this might be some sort of meta comment here in which he releases this this grand project to no acclaim whatsoever and nobody ever watches it, but you know, much like all the security camera footage which renders all this surveillance more or less moot.
I'm waiting until it comes out in 3D. It attaches two video cameras to the back of his head, and I think that could take on Avatar. It'd be really boring when he sat down, wouldn't it? You can imagine on a coach or something, a photo every minute. It's like, well, congratulations, you now have 60 photos of a seat very close up, so you can't actually tell what it is.
Well, presumably that's the kind of thing he's going for, you know, is the very sort of the very realistic, unaffected sort of, you know, actually this is real day to day life sort of stuff. Whereas what he'll actually get is lots of people looking quizzically at the back of his head, sort of going, "What? I'm sure that's a camera, but I'm almost certain it's attached to his brain."
Does he just want to be a cyborg?
If so, he's not doing it very well. He should put the camera on the front of his head, then he'll know what he's photographing.
Speaking of getting caught on camera, we've got another camera-related story today about a polite robber who got caught on camera trying to hold off a petrol station. He asked the station owner to do him a favour and say, "Can you empty that till for me, please? Put it right there." The person who was trying to rob asked what he meant, and the thief replied, "Put it right there, I'm robbing you." And he's got a handgun, so I'm a bit confused as to how you'd misinterpret that situation. You're standing at a cash point, and someone is waving a gun.
But he was so utterly polite. This is just it. The guys, the guy manning the store, presumably thought he was sort of showing him the gun for interest, or saying, "Look, I got this rather nice pistol. It's pretty good, isn't it? Would you mind polishing it for me?" I don't know if that's a thing you do at a US convenience store. Pardon me. Would you mind polishing my pistol?
That doesn't sound like
something.
Oh God! That's you. I feel you've taken this where we didn't want to go.
I'll try going to America and saying those exact words, and we'll see what happens.
But he said, "I'm really sorry to do this, but I've got kids." And then the guy behind the counter offered him $40 instead to help him out as a donation.
Well, not really as a donation, as a partial robbery. Basically, the guy said, "Hello there, I'd like all the money." The guy behind the counter said, "How about some of the money?" And he said, No, I prefer my suggestion. All of the money." You know, he has a very strong negotiating position.
He's trying to haggle. When was the last time you heard about someone trying to haggle an armed robber?
It's good shopkeeping. The parent company will be proud.
Yeah, I can offer you $40 and a full petrol tank.
I'll do you a free valet. Which would be an interesting one when it comes to supporting your children. So if I haven't got any food, my car is exceptionally clean. Go on, kids. So you could, I don't know.
but the thief declined the offer, saying, "Well, I can't do that, sir. I've got rent to pay. I've got bills, and the kids need to eat." Then on the way back, he said, "If I'm ever back on my feet again, sir, I'll bring it back."
Yeah, it's rather nice, isn't it? It's sort of it's the American equivalent of a gentleman thief, by which I don't mean that Americans are, you know, fundamentally incapable of being gentlemen, but I mean the equivalent of the classical Victorian gentleman thief. Though I'm terribly sorry, but I'm going to be needing all of your possessions, so if you wouldn't mind putting them in the sack, that'd be very nice indeed. Of course, you recognise, if you don't, I will kill you.
Oh, but it's not so much robbery by this point as demanding a loan with menaces.
But a zero interest loan that you take whether or not the bank wants it. That is a bank robbery. with future intent to deposit, which is odd.
But he was arrested a few days later after the CCTV footage became a YouTube hit and helped police identify him. And it's just like, firstly, really, who's got hold of this footage and stuck it on YouTube? And so the shop owner just gone, "Do you know what would be really... Well, I'm $400 out, but at least I've got this video.
A YouTube video.
Best YouTube video ever." And then afterwards I can send it to "You've been framed," except obviously he's not been framed because he actually did it.
"You've been robbed." There's got to be a TV show for like genuine mishap.
Police camera action.
Yeah, true.
Stick it on that.
Yeah. I don't know if they pay victims of crime. I suppose, no, that would actually make some sense. It's fairly unlikely you'll deliberately get run over in order to, you know, in order to send the video to police camera action.
Yeah, you're not allowed to make money out of being a criminal. If they take your criminal act and turn it into a book, you can't make money off that, I believe, technically. But
you can if you've been framed.
But the people who you robbed and who you performed all these acts towards, I don't think there's anything stopping that.
As long as it's not just some cunning collusion in which you perpetrate minor crimes and then they send them to "You've Been Framed" or a police show as appropriate, depending on how well the crime went.
It's kind of reverse Spider-Man, isn't it? instead of like setting cameras up to film yourself stopping criminals, you set cameras up to film yourself being robbed.
Just stand in the street going, come on, if you think you're hard enough, bet you can't run me over. That car looks rubbish. Bet if it drove into me, there'd be like the car would be all crumpled and I'd be standing here triumphant. I don't know if you can goad people into running you down. I'll give it a go then.
But that'd be the way. That's how you do it. Like, oh, I bet I'm harder than your car. It's basically what you're saying there. It's
Ford Mondeo Transform. Oh, damn. I'm not harder than that particular car.
Oh. Well, if you've got any comments on the Surveillance Society and whether it's good for anything besides YouTube hits, you can email us studio@camfm.co.uk or going onto our website www.camfm.co.uk, clicking on the web form there and sending us a message.
We're going to take a brief musical break. We'll be back talking about more silly news after that.
97.2
camfm.co.uk.
Your station,
your CamFM.
Hello and welcome, blah, dear lord. Hello and welcome back to Burst the Bubble with me, Chris Moten.
And me, Michael Quintario.
This is a show about silly news. And this particular segment of silly news is going to be all about technology. First up, we have a story about the Nintendo Wii, and specifically a countdown-based game for it, as in Countdown the Channel 4 show. It seems that one of the conundrums, the anagram, was Shah-sighted, as in S-H-A-H-S-I-T-E-D.
We could just leave them to guess that. Yes, work it out. We'll start talking about the rest of the show, the rest of this article, and then we'll come back to see if you guess this correctly.
I say guessed. I mean, you're listening on the internet. Go and find an anagram site like anybody else watching Countdown.
But it spelt turned out to be a rude word, and an outraged mum complained to the son. It seems. saying that she couldn't believe her eyes as the world was slowly unveiled as an obscene insult. And this was when they were playing the game with their 3-year-old kid to say, Oliver's a really bright kid and we play this game to help him build up his word bank.
Yeah, so on the one hand, fair enough. Like, you know, U-rated Wii games intended for tiny children probably should not contain this particular expletive. But on the other hand, my sympathy is reduced because his mother is clearly a blistering idiot. Now, I'll justify that. This is because she said the words, he's a really bright kid and we play this game to help him build up his word bank. This tells us that her word bank is sadly lacking, as it lacks in particular the word vocabulary.
Even more so than that, they said that she said that her husband Daniel had to rush him out of the room because he was asking what the word meant.
Yeah, as you might.
But
so he rushed him from the room as though he's sort of going to go, I'm in a different room now, I can no longer remember the existence of that entertaining word.
But the thing is, the son seems to have gone round there and taken a picture with the word still on the TV. So they must have left. So
no, the son hasn't. Sorry.
Taken a photograph with the word. Still left on the TV.
The S-O-N son has not taken the photograph.
Sorry.
The S-U-N tabloid newspaper has taken a photograph of the offending conundrum.
Oh, yeah, that's a point. When we're speaking, those words aren't easily distinguishable.
They're homonyms.
So your word bank's pretty decent there.
Don't say that. Oh, that genuinely makes me angry.
But now there's a photo of the son in... The Sun newspaper with the word on the TV. Did they just tell the poor kid not to look around again in case he saw the offending word again? Or by that point, were they just like, oh, he's seen it?
At some point, he is going to encounter swear words and he's going to say, what does it mean? And you're going to say, it's a really rude word that you shouldn't say.
So for those of you who've been guessing,
how hard is this?
The word starts with a 4-letter expletive beginning with S and ends heads. So there you
run through your list of expletives and go, which ones of those could validly end with heads? The answer is, of course, all of them. Every swear word can be suffixed with heads, so so you're going to have to try harder.
But I think we've given you enough information to work out what it was without us offending any public decency rules.
Alternatively, come and listen to Burst the Bubble After Dark, the midnight show we do every other Wednesday. In which all the bits we couldn't say during Burst the Bubble are aired. In this case, we will simply be saying this word continuously for 60 minutes.
That actually wouldn't be a bad idea for a show.
That would be a terrible show.
No, I don't mean the specific instance, but the idea of us just doing a show where we're just like somewhere where we can't going to be found by anyone with rules.
Oh, yes. And now all the stories with willies in them.
should just call the show that.
But moving swiftly on away from the realm of rude words. But now that there are another... here's a set of letters and numbers which possibly shouldn't have been said or tweeted in this case, because those of you who are up on your like present-day consoles may have heard that the PlayStation 3 has some encryption, which means you can only play legal games on it. And some people have found the secret key, which you can add to your illegal software, to make it run on a PS3. And someone has retweeted the key that someone tweeted at them, thus putting it on a Sony Twitter account, the key you need to hack their console.
Ah, I see what... Yes, I see what's happened here now, yes. Somebody has tweeted the key that's supposed to be a secret, but which they knew, and Sony have an account set up to automatically retweet things that mention a certain...
Not even automatically.
A certain keyword.
Someone's actually had to go like this, and because it's a set of letters and numbers, this Sony person has retweeted it and going, let me guess, ... you sunk my battleship. And it's like, well, in some senses, now we have.
I wasn't sure what he was getting at with "you sunk my battleship." Oh.
It's like coordinates for the battleship game. Did you have a deprived childhood without the game Battleships?
Clearly so, yes. Okay, so basically Sony have told everybody how to crack the PS3. Oops.
Despite having been in the middle of legal proceedings against people who actually found this secret out first.
Yeah. So. The people who actually used the leaked key are mildly ridiculous, because what they tend to be is video game pirates, who then... There's usually about 10 people for a given console who make what's called homebrew software, which is just games that they've written, which aren't official Sony games, and they want to be able to play on the PS3. And so they usually use these 10 people to justify the, like, hundreds of thousands of people doing regular strength piracy. So it's one of these rather paper-thin excuses. But yes, if you're going to just hand over the keys, then you've not got much to stand on.
There we go. That's quite a crucial mistake there. It has now been removed from the Twitter account, which is the equivalent, I think, of locking the stable door after the horse has bolted.
Right. Yes.
Perhaps I should come into our vernacular now. Just like update all of our phrases. So instead of
it'll take a while if you say, "Oh, that's like he deleted that thing from his Twitter feed long after the whole of the internet had read it." I think the horse one is still more. It's more terse.
It's got more of a ring to it. anyway, moving on to another video game console. We're managing to hit all of the big three here. And we're also going back to a youngster, because on the Xbox you can purchase downloadable content for your console. So games, weapons and costumes for characters in games, that sort of thing. And it seems like the mum here, Dawn Matthews, entered her debit card details into the console to buy him a membership of Xbox Live, which allows you to play all your games online. And It seems that somehow this has been saved, and her son has been buying stuff with it ever since, and has spent £1,000 on his mum's debit card.
Mm. Well, you say somehow it's been saved. I mean, that's what it does as standard. You enter your credit card details, they get bound to your account, and then you can buy stuff using it without needing to retrieve the credit card again. This is basically half their business model. is that small children go, I can get a shiny Hello Kitty top for my virtual avatar. let's go blow £50 on that, and nobody notices, as indeed they didn't. As it appears, nobody read their bank statement for 3 months, which I can hardly have a go at, as my own financial affairs are chaotic, going or non-existent. But, you know, I mean, this is somebody else. That's basically my whole grounds for taking no sympathy here.
So, yeah, I was quite surprised that she didn't notice it, but she attributed this to the recession and rising costs of petrol and food. So, this is something else that we can blame on the recession. this family losing £1,000 on Xbox games.
So presumably this means she looked at her bank account, like at the total figure, and went, £1,000 missing. Must be because food's more expensive.
Well, it was
rather than reading the item above it that says Microsoft £1,000 and going, when did I start buying my turnips at Microsoft?
Well, it was a large number of payments over 2 months, and I don't know. She was busy sorting through numerous letters about her direct debits bouncing because her account had no money left in it because it had all been spent.
So her defence is she didn't read her bank statement because she was too busy phoning people and saying, why is it that there's no money in my bank? And at no point went, I should consult that piece of paper that tells me the answer.
Yeah, quite possibly. but there you go.
Oh, dear. What do we got next then? And finally, yes, we've ticked off all the major video game consoles. Let's move on to the iPhone, the iPhone and Catholicism, a Venn diagram which contains very little. The Venn diagram contains a lot because there's a lot in the big Catholicism circle, and there's a lot in the big iPhone circle. There's very little in the intersection.
But there's a iPhone app now that guides worshippers through confession. Which is available through iTunes, so for some small amount of money. Which, just the fact that you have to pay for it is. Hang on a minute. whatever happened to charity?
Is the Catholic Church inherently charitable?
Well, is it definitely a charitable organisation?
I thought it was just like the Pope's beer fund. Obviously, that doesn't make any sense because he is duty bound not to drink. It could be a fund for anything else the Pope likes to consume, like Heinz beans. It's the Pope's Heinz beans fund.
Surely the Pope has to drink because he. Surely does the Pope take communion?
You know, I don't know. It seems like you shouldn't need to forgive him for his sins.
Well, it's one of those
because
things,
he's like, you know, inherently sin free.
It's one of the things like the Queen can't vote. Because people are voting to advise her on who they want elected rather and who to form a government, so she doesn't get a chance to vote. She can just say yay or nay to the whole caboodle.
It's like, similarly, does the Pope pray? Because would that be redundant? Is the Pope everybody else has a kind of a push relationship with God, in the sense that, you know, you have to go down on bended knee and say things when you want to talk to the guy. Is the Pope the only person with a pull relationship with God, where, like, you know, it's God's duty to lift the phone from time to time?
I don't know where you're going with this. I think we're on quite dodgy theological ground now. But
dodgy in the sense of ignorance, yes.
Yes. But basically, what's happening here is, You can put into your iPhone. Apparently, there are some like pre-programmed sins into it that you can select from, and there's also like a free text box for you to type in your own sins.
Please don't tell me it's like integrated with Facebook, and you can recommend sins to your friends, sins they might have committed.
But there's a little bit at the end which basically says, understand your actions, and then visit your priest for absolution. It's not a replacement priest.
Hmm? Oh, so I thought you said envisage your
and then
imagine
visit.
The face of your priest staring at you from the screen. Feel the guilt.
So the Pope has basically been in his speech earlier in the year. He said it was not a sin to use social networking sites and encouraged young Catholics to share important information with each other online. So, I mean, it's quite nice, apart from having to pay for it. Also, they're having to have an iPhone in the first place, which I feel is going to be putting off a large portion of his flock, as it were.
Do you reckon that it'll have iPhone-specific sins, as in, like, sins that are unusually applicable to people who buy iPhone applications? Yeah, hast thou coveted thy neighbour's Android?
But, I don't know, related to the previous story, perhaps there will just be a sin buying too many apps. Spending too much of possibly other people's money on your phone because your parents are the ones who pay your phone bill.
Yep, yep. Have you been an evil materialist, for example, by purchasing this application?
but there we go. That's the new confession iPhone app. If you've got any comments about any of the technology stories or any technology stories we might have missed, you can email us studio@camfm.co.uk or via the website at www.camfm.co.uk.
We'll take another musical break. We'll be back after this.
On air, online and across Cambridge.
Your station.
Your Cam FM.
Hello and welcome back to Burst the Bubble with me, Chris Moten.
And me, Michael Quintario.
That was You Shook Me All Night Long by AC/DC. And during the musical break, we had an email come in. Why don't you read it out, Michael?
The Pope doesn't take communion because Catholics call it Mass, says DP, who is also obviously a physicist, because he's pointed out that Mass is different to weight. Now, he or she, actually. I think I know this person, and I think it's a he. But, yes, DP isn't really particularly...
You can only really offend them either way there.
So. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Let's just leave the matter unresolved.
Yeah, I'm going to go and hang my head in shame now. But if people won't put full names on here... DP, they are obviously a physicist. There we go.
Right. Yep.
So, moving swiftly on, we're now going on to... Our kind of like vehicular section. It's very technical and engineering based this week. It's interesting. Obviously, that's what's been happening in the world.
Yeah, well, that's the random stuff the BBC BBC also in the news section has located. Anyway, so our first story in our vehicular section is all about the Harrier jump jet and somebody who tried to flog one on eBay. Which I didn't think was possible. I didn't think there was really a section for, you know, like multi-million-dollar military hardware. But as it turns out, yes, you can. This was a collector who had bought, obviously, a decommissioned one. This wasn't, like, you know, a puppet account that's actually Saddam Hussein in hiding, sort of going, so I've got this Harrier that I laid hands on a while ago, and obviously not running a country anymore. I don't have a lot of use for it. So if somebody would take it off my hands, that would be great. No, this is a collector who bought a decommissioned one off the RAF.
Well, what I like is that... He said that he's already sort. Mr. Wilson needs and said that he's held 7 Harriers in the past. So I'm just wondering, did he get like a job lot of them?
Well, yeah, I suppose so. I mean, they must. You know, presumably, they would sell them off one at a time. You know, you upgrade a whole squadron from something to a more modern piece of tech, and so you suddenly got like 12 Harriers on your hands.
But apparently, all of its equipment and weaponry was stripped before it left the RAF. Which is, so this guy's complaining because it's been taken off eBay because of the rule about not selling weapons on there.
which seems fair. I mean, if the RAF, it would be an interesting deal if the RAF were to say, and this one comes with like 4 advanced air-to-air missiles, but so you can destroy any 4 airborne targets at a range of 15 kilometers or more.
But when it says stripped of all its equipment, does that include the engine? Can you take the engine out of a plane like you can remove an engine from a car?
I have absolutely no idea how to go about removing the engine of a Harrier jump jet, but I'll look that one up during the next break.
He said that a particularly perfectly legitimate item to sell, it's not capable of delivering weapons, it's not even capable of delivering a pizza, which suggests that it might potentially be.
That's also manifestly false, because, for example, if you lived at the top of a hill, I'm sure it still has wheels, you could place the pizza in it and push it down the hill. And that would be one hell of an awesome way to have your pizza delivered.
Is that delivered if a Harrier jump jet is pushed down a hill and smashes through your front door?
Obviously, I was hoping that you live at the sort of the place with the same amount of potential energy as the top of the hill, with the result that the Harrier does a nice little parabola sort of maneuver before arriving at your door. But yes, if it does smash through your window, that has been delivered, in the sense it has been moved into your property. It's done some other stuff as well, but it has delivered the pizza. And that's what I told the arresting officer.
But yes, eBay banned it, saying it contravenes their weapon sales policy, and they apologised to the seller concerned for the inconvenience. I mean, he's got this jump jet now and no way of offloading it. I mean, that's pretty inconvenient.
Well, except for to Iran, of course. That's the other thing you do. Though, in order to sell it to Iran, he's going to need some weapons. Where might he get such a thing, Michael?
Well, actually, this is a sort of weapon that would be entirely useless, because the next story is about a surface-to-air missile. Whereas if you had put a missile onto your plane, it would be an air-to-air or air-to-ground missile.
Well, not forgetting that this plane is surface-bound, so actually that's perfect.
But no, a man collected a missile from a house clearance.
What was happening in that house? He just has this sand sitting around inside the door. It's just in case he needs to shoot down an Apache.
And the man collected a few items from the house and only realised afterwards that he had a 1 meter long thing which might possibly be a missile.
He's just been sat there going, oh, I know, that's the coat stand. We put our coats on that. It's like, I'm pretty sure that's a service to air missile. No. Hats also. No killing. I'm not sure where our correspondent was from there.
Yeah. It's an inert surface to air missile, so probably won't actually blow anything up.
You mean, presumably inert means they've taken the bomb out.
I don't know. I just stop working.
Because it could also be a surface to air missile made out of, like, helium. I mean, making it wholly from helium would be very difficult, obviously. You probably want to use some other inert substances. At least one of them ought to be non-inert in order for it to be very useful.
But, yeah, they had to evacuate the area and close some of the M6. So, yeah, it was taken all very seriously. A temporary shelter was set at the town's bingo hall for all the people who had to leave their houses.
Ah, right, yeah, okay, yes. It was taken very seriously in the sense that the local area was evacuated.
Yes.
Yes, okay. Yes, I believe the person in question did that really stupid thing where you wander into the police station carrying a meter-long missile and say, hello, what should I do with this?
I
think it
can
kill up to 50 people at a very long range indeed.
I assume you phoned them up, but I just like the fact that they were being sent to the bingo hall. Did they get a free game of bingo while they were waiting to pass the time?
Now then, chaps, we might all be about to die in a cataclysmic explosion. So I know what you're all thinking. Bingo! The most fatalistic game for the most fatalistic of times.
Oh dear.
Because bingo is mainly for preparing for death, right?
No.
Because you played enough people's homes.
Oh, now you're just being mean. unfairly categorising...
What, old people is near to death?
No!
Because I think that defines the word old.
unfairly there are many things that are old that aren't near to death, because they're not alive to begin with.
Oh yeah, alright.
But no, I think I'm unfairly categorising the game. But anyway, let's move on to to a different type of vehicle now, a race car, and also a... Is it a van? The other one?
It is a van, yes.
Yeah. Race car and a van.
This is Ford, who have sued Ferrari for naming one of their Formula One racing cars the F-150, on the grounds that there exists a Ford F-150 truck, which you can use for, you know, moving large amounts of stuff around. And Ferrari have come up with a fairly obvious defence that's never going to confuse the two things. Nobody is ever going to be sat there, like, punching around Silverstone in a Ford F-150 truck. So they're going, Jesus, this thing's terrible. I've been lapped like 500 times, and the race is only 72 laps long. I'm not sure how I'm losing this badly. And frankly, Ferrari, you've disappointed me with this enormous truck capable of carrying up to 15 tons.
Also, is like you'd expect there to be some obvious price differences between the two as well. F1 cars being supposed to be precision engineered for speed around the track.
Yeah, right, George, well, I got a surprisingly good deal on the old F-150. You gave me £3 billion to spend, came back with £2.99 billion in change. Who'd have thought it? Prices must have gone down since your day.
I don't know, that's still quite expensive, £0.01 billion.
How much is it? £10 million? Yeah, that's quite... that's quite a truck. That's the truck that Ford customised in order to try and compete with the other F-150, after they realised so many people were beating a path to their door desperately looking for an awesome speed machine. It's basically an F-150 truck with a rocket on the back.
Ford have been claiming that Ferrari want to profit from the substantial goodwill that Ford has developed in the F-150 trademark.
Their two racing drivers. They're hoping their two racing drivers will say, oh, aye, that sounds quite a lot the truck my dad used to move turnips around with.
I don't know where that guy has come from either.
I don't know either.
There you go. So yeah, whether that one actually goes through, we shall see, because we're not any members of the legal profession, so we can't judge these arguments.
Alas, it is so. I feel so free of purpose.
So there we go.
All right then. I think it's about time we took another musical break. Mm-hmm. We'll be back right after this.
97.2, your station, your Cam FM.
Hello and welcome back to Burst the Bubble with me, Chris Moten,
and me, Michael Contario.
We're going to be talking about one last set of silly news stories. Our theme for this segment will be animals. First of all, roaches for Valentine's Day.
It's not an obvious gift. I mean, you can get those chocolate-covered ones, but that's not even getting the cockroaches here. You can't get chocolate-covered cockroaches. You can get chocolate-covered something else. Chocolate-covered cockroaches would be awful.
You can get chocolate-covered all sorts of things, but specifically ants. Not cockroaches.
Ants. You can get ants. Definitely, you can get chocolate-covered ants.
Really? Yeah. Chocolate-covered ants?
Yep.
As a consumer product?
Yes.
Wow. Like, in this country?
I believe so, yeah. Off the internet.
Huh.
Not like at some sort of dodgy, unknown internet site. I mean, like, reputable internet sites.
Sounds like a thing you might invent by accident. Like, a load of ants got into the chocolate machine, and you were sat there eating the chocolate, going, oh, it's so tasty. And then, like, you know, broke one open and went, oh, Jesus, ants. And then eventually realised, hang on a moment, it's so tasty.
Gotta love that crunch.
There's a better way, you know, we could put biscuit in there. No, you want arthropods.
Yeah, bet for cereal. it's nice to think that the breakfast cereal,
a bowl of ants with milk in it.
Yeah, it's nice to know that were your breakfast cereal still alive, it would be quite happily able to lift your box of breakfast cereal. Ants being well known for being able to lift many times their own weight.
Well, you could have it be a box of live ants. That, like, you kill them before you eat them.
Oh, it's fresher that way. It's just like you get a pot of chocolate to dip them in.
It would also enable you to have a sort of a cackling evil villain sort of breakfast, as you have to, like, drown the ants in milk. Just sit there, cat, going, ha, 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 suffer my dairy-based rat.
Only if it's milk chocolate.
And that's how I like to start my day.
I'm pretending to be a supervillain.
Yes, indeed. So back to roaches. What are they actually doing with these roaches? This is a zoo which has bought itself some rare roaches and has offered people the opportunity to adopt them as a Valentine's Day present.
And not only just adopt them, but also name them.
Right, yes. Yeah, so like most of these adopt-a-creature things, you get a photo of your roach and are told, you know, this roach is now called Jimmy the Roach. We've engraved it on his, like, a plaque outside his pen. Well, since he's a roach, possibly engraved it on the roach. and he's now your roach. You can come and visit him and pet him and do whatever it is you do to a roach. It's an interesting present, because I can't imagine the roaches last very long. This is a brooch that really is just for Christmas. Or in this case, for Valentine's Day.
Whatever they're saying, flowers wilt, chocolates melt, roaches are forever. How long? I believe they're referring to the fact that people say that in a nuclear attack, roaches would be the one thing that survived, and they can survive extreme heat, extreme cold. Pretty much, they can survive pretty much everything you're going to throw at them, except possibly a shoe.
Yes, they actually recommend the surviving the nuclear holocaust thing as a line when you give this as Valentine's Day present, that you should say, you know, that I respect your ability to, like, outlast gamma radiation. Happy Valentine's Day. It seems like one of those things where you picture in your head that you'll say that, and then she'll say, how witty and unusual. You know, you don't run with the crowd. You know, you go your own way with this formulaic holiday. whereas what's actually going to happen is she's going to go, oh, a roach.
But if any of you are desperate, it's possible they might still have some left for just $10.
For $10, I can have it. I could, for £0, I could obtain a roach by just leaving my house in a situation of distress until eventually roaches show up and do what roaches do. I'm assuming roaches live in England here, by the way. I've only ever heard about roaches on American TV shows.
Oh, I've seen some roaches.
Do you think they exist in this country?
Yeah.
Okay. No, it just seemed conceivable they were just this American beast. But anyway, yeah. Other creatures. Opossums, they might eat roaches. That's a connection, isn't it?
No, not really.
No.
But now we've got an opossum. We had Paul the Octopus, Paul the Psychic Octopus, who you may remember, was famous for predicting the winners of various games at the World Cup. Well, now the next thing up is... the next thing is the Oscars. So someone has decided that we should get some sort of cute animal, cuter than an octopus, to try and predict the winners of the Oscars.
So they found themselves a cross-eyed opossum.
I like the fact that they've just gone with the thing, well, octopus starts with O, opossum starts with O, therefore they must share the same psychic abilities.
What shall we have next?
Ocelot. You know, an ocelot that predicts the Olympic Games by which brand of cat food it eats.
Ocelot's cats.
But vaguely.
Okay. Yeah. Otherwise, that's quite a cruel challenge to put before it. if an ocelot was like a variety of dolphin, because I actually have absolutely no idea what an ocelot is, and then you said cat food.
but this opossum basically got made famous by appearing in a photo in a newspaper, being cross-eyed, and I'm not sure where you get from cross-eyed creature to psychic predictions of the Oscars. There seems to be several jumps in here which don't naturally follow on.
maybe a Darwinist argument, you know, as it looks so ridiculous, it's still alive, it must have powers. Which power? I mean, that gives us no hint as to which power. It might have like laser eyes. that would have kept the ocelot, the opossum alive. Nobody's exploring the idea of having it appear at the Oscars and like cut the ribbon with its laser eyes, supposing it to have laser eyes.
But one Facebook fan posted on Heidi's wall, so because Heidi the opossum has a Facebook page, like all well known animals in the media these days, saying someone posted on the wall saying, "Please make sure those Hollywood producers treat you well." Like, oh, it's got Notary. A whole. It's got a whole backstory about being found as an orphan in North Carolina. This is a film waiting to happen.
It is undeniably sickeningly cute.
Do you reckon this? You can make a film of this and then win an Oscar in a film in which the opossum predicts that in the future a film about it will win an Oscar. In some sort of weird recursive sense.
You're going to need a time-travelling opossum. That's its power. It can't predict the future. Oh. It can travel in time, which is as good.
Yeah, because you can go to the future and check.
Although the tragedy is it can't understand the Oscars. So it can tell you in the future, you know, like, whether there was, like, an ant's nest that was good for eating. But it can't tell you anything about the Oscars.
but there we go. That's our animals section.
Right, let's conclude the show with a very brief.
Before that, we have actually had another email.
Wait. We should finish with that email.
Oh, we should finish with the email. Yeah, is that good?
sorry to interrupt you. We must finish with the email because it is both the best and worst joke I've ever seen. Let's finish with a very brief anthology of marginal interest, in which I talk about stories which weren't interesting but whose headlines were. Number one, the BBT tells us that officers...
The BBT,
the British Broadcasting Televangelists, tell us that, quote, officers trained to deflate tyres, which does sound slightly like the Green Party has gone insane with power and has trained the police that wherever you see an inflatable rubber thing, let it down. Alas, no, they have been trained to deflate them from a distance when pursuing people in car chases.
Also, it's one of those things where training to deflate tyres is like, well, you stick something sharp through it and then pull it out again. It's not particularly difficult to make something deflate.
But it'll explode and you'll get all pieces of tyre in your face and everything. There's technique here.
Is that going to be a new Olympic sport? They just get points out of 10 for their technique in tyre deflation.
It's an equal opportunities thing for, like, you know, stereotypical Liverpool based contestants. Okay, anthology of marginal interest, item number two. The BBC also tells us that Tesco, quotes, would build sports centre, but presumably then remembered it's a grocer. It's just, you know, somebody like got up too fast in the bath and went, we should buy it. We should build a sports center. No, we shouldn't. We sell groceries.
I'm sure they must sell those like little goals that people play five-a-side with or whatever. So, I
mean, probably the case.
They've got some of the stuff anyway, so it's not quite so crazy.
And let us conclude with the aforementioned terrible joke. Our correspondent, who hides his name, perhaps wisely, naming himself only as Jay.
Or herself,
whose IP address tells us that he, she, it, or they come from within Cambridge. So, you know, we can find and exact our vengeance in the near future. They write in to tell us that, I tried to set up a business selling deactivated Harrier jump jets. Unfortunately, it never took off. Ba-dum-tish.
Thank you,
that's the show.
Thank you very much, and good night.